Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. That's what the kids on the street are calling it.
Oh, all of them.
I'm Mike Pedrino. I'm your host. I'm here today with all of our dear friend, Mr. William James Gagliardi.
It's not your close name. Close.
Mike, I'm going to promise.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this episode,
don't make any promises you can't keep.
I'm going to try my best.
Yeah.
To limit, not eliminate,
yeah.
Limit the amount of bad impressions I'm going to do.
Okay. Okay. You know what? Let yourself be free. It's okay. It's okay. Because you know what? This is a very special episode.
Very special episode. So you allow me that, doing that?
Yeah, go ahead. Try everything.
I'm just going to say that's excellent. Good impression.
All right. So what we're talking about today is who shot Mr. Burns? How do you boil down a phenomenon for an audience that might not know what it is?
Oh man, kids, back in the day,
yeah.
What are we at? 30? Oh, no, it's 2026 now, so it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, this is from 1995.
Oh yeah, so okay, so yeah, this is a 30-year-old media phenomenon. So a lot of people might not even know it.
So it's okay. So, I mean, it's two episodes of a TV show, but it's so much more. It truly was. I mean, and we were kids, so maybe we're overblowing it, but it felt to me like it was all anyone cared about or talked about for a whole summer.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge.
100%. And you know what? For a non-canonical show,
yeah.
It has created ripples in the narrative of the show for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they will make reference back to that. Like, oh, this really is a pivotal moment.
Oh, yeah.
For it.
So, who shot Mr. Burns? All right. So, we're talking about The Simpsons.
Maggie.
All right.
To answer your question.
Right. Maggie.
But how we get there.
How do we get there? Okay. So, The Simpsons. We all know The Simpsons. You and me have done an episode on the many infidelities of Homer and Lisa.
Yes, yes. We've done several episodes on The Simpsons.
Yes, we're big Simpsons fans. You're a huge Simpsons fan.
Yes.
All right, so how do we even, who shot Mr. Burns? It's a two-part episode. One, the first part is the finale of season six. It's season six, episode 25. It aired May 21st, 1995. Mm. 4 whole months later. The first episode of season seven is the conclusion of the cliffhanger that aired September 17th, 1995. So this was an event on The Simpsons. They were advertising it up until even before the first episode, they were advertising this big event. And with the event came a contest, which itself has a very weird history.
Man.
And, we should also talk a little bit about Who Shot JR, because it's a parody of Who Shot JR.
Yes, which was dragged out a little bit longer.
Yes, they actually had to wait like three episodes into the season.
Three episodes into the season. So it's a parody of Who Shot JR, which was a show called Dallas, I mean, for people who are even older than us, we'll know that it was a hit phenomenon on network television back in 1980 to 1986, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it was a drama. It was a soapy nighttime soap.
Yeah, which starred the star of Step by Step and Scuzzlebutt's leg, Patrick Duffy.
Yes. And
J.R. Ewing was an oil magnate.
You're right. Right, which is good. Oil comes into the Simpsons episode too.
Yes, yes, it does.
Yes, he was an oil. He was the villain. He was the love to hate him villain of the show. And in one of the finales, he shot
by his. It ends up being his girlfriend.
The finale of season three, he was shot, and they didn't pay it off until like three episodes into season four. And that was a huge phenomenon. So this is sort of a parody of that.
Yes.
But.
And even more so just to like let the breadcrumbs in. So there was a belief that it was his ex that was the one who shot her because she's a drunk.
Uh-huh.
So it was like his current girlfriend who actually did shoot him was really relying on her lack of the memory of the situation. And also because she was heavily inebriated at the time. Mm-hmm. So go.
Which also plays into this.
Which plays into this as well.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know how much of The Simpsons we need to explain, but like the you know, Homer's boss at the nuclear power plant is Mr. Burns, and his whole gag is that he's a million years old, he's frail, and he owns a nuclear power plant. He is like the richest man in Springfield. He's in this episode, these set of episodes, he's truly evil. Like, he's not this evil a lot.
No.
But he's super evil in this.
Relentlessly evil.
Right. Because they want him to be evil, and they also want, you know, it's a game. So they wanted, and they were advertising that it was going to be a game. So, yeah. And they were telling you that there are clues, and they were telling you it could be anybody. They want to set up that everybody in Springfield could have shot him.
Justify everybody's motive.
Right. And after the first episode, and we'll go through the episodes, but after the first one aired, you could, you had to call 1-800-COLLECT.
Collect.
1-800-COLLECT. Which was a way to do collect calls, which is like, this sounds so old to even talk about these things. It was a way of, collect calls were what? Calling someone from a different state?
No. So what's funny is.
Oh, no. It was someone else paying, right.
Yes. So I was 10 years old at this time.
Yeah.
And no cell phones or anything. I grew up, my family had a place up in the Poconos, Pennsylvania.
Brag.
So we had this like little community center in the place where we lived.
Yeah.
Where there was a payphone right outside.
Yeah.
So at this time, I actually submitted answers for this. I don't remember. I have a question
for you. If you remember how it went, because they say on the commercials that when you call 1-800-COLLECT, both you and the recipient of the call both get entered into the contest.
Yeah.
Well, how does that like? Would they go, oh, before we connect you, who do you think shot Mr. Burns?
Like, yeah, like I think like, if I remember correctly, there was an option like if it was like if you want to guess on who shot Mr. Burns, like press 2 or something.
Oh, okay.
So I always used 1-800-COLLECT. Like you ever see the commercial for Collect Call where it's like we had a baby eats a boy?
Yeah.
Like that's what I used to do.
Yeah.
So like whenever I would call to get picked up from the place, I would just it'd be like, you have a collect call from, hey, pick me up.
Yes, I remember doing that.
So, like, around 1995, when I'm 10 years old, and back in the 90s, you could just be an unintended 10-year-old.
Sure, you can. Yeah, in the woods.
So
in the woods.
It's the Poconos.
Yeah.
So
you're in the mountains.
So I would call 1-800-COLLECT from the community center to get picked up. And then in that, there would be the touchstone prompts.
Yeah.
Where if you want to do that prior to making
who did you vote for?
I think I said Skinner. I don't remember. I either said Skinner or Smithers.
Okay.
But like I didn't do any of the legwork that, you know.
Some people did real legwork.
Yeah. Like some people were real sleuths.
Because you could. There's a few. Well, we'll get into it. You could figure out who shot Mr. Burns truly by looking at the episode closely and putting it together.
Yeah.
There's only. To my knowledge, what I think I found a flaw in it, but other than that, I think it does really work. But I never voted like that. Me and my friends and my cousins, we had a little pool where like we put in like $2 each. And Anthony voted for the right answer. He voted for Maggie. And then my weird cousin didn't want to pay Anthony. Because he was like, but he said that as a joke. And we were like, yeah, but what would it matter?
It's like that Tim Robinson skit when they're all like pulling in the credit cards. And then it's like, oh, yeah, this is all crazy. And then he actually gets the one picked. He's like,
yeah,
I'm not paying.
Yeah. Which, yeah, it's like that. He didn't want to pay Anthony.
Mm.
But Anthony did guess. And So the thing that they advertised over, and again, this was on like the cover of magazines.
Yeah.
This was on the cover of TV Guide. Like this was like people were talking about this. This was, it did exactly what the show needed in season 6 was a huge influx of attention for the show. And, you know, season 6 is really good. Like this, it's like season 6 is prime.
I'm going to tell you right now, one thing I didn't do for the lead up of this, I have all the DVDs for season 6 and season 7. And season 6, like the whole box art is all like mugshots and like everything's built around that. I didn't listen to the commentary, which I absolutely should have for this episode.
So I've listened, I didn't listen to the commentary, but I watched a YouTube video about this phenomenon where they use clips from the commentary. Mm. And that's how I learned what happened with the contest.
Oh, the contest was a mess.
So what was supposed to happen was if you won, the prize would be you would get animated into The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they do this because it never works. Okay, so what happened was 1-800-COLLECT was like, okay, they gave the producer or the showrunner like, here's a list of 1,000 names. Pick the winner from that. And he looked and no one picked Maggie. So he was like, oh, well, no one picked it. So give me another 1,000 names. And they're like, no, you have to pick from that. Okay. Like the bylaws of the whatever, the fine print says you have to pick from that. And he was like, but no one guessed right. And they were like, well, the episode, the second part of the episode, the first suspect is Mr. Smithers. So pick someone who picked Mr. Smithers.
Right.
Who's not the fucking killer.
Right.
So he picked someone who picked Mr. Smithers. It was this woman.
Kayla Gibson.
Yes. Who was not really a fan of the show.
No, not at all.
And she was like, I don't want to be animated into the show. Can you just give me some money? And they were like, sure. And they joked that it was like hush money because they were like, please don't tell anyone that you didn't actually guess the winner. But the real issue is, you know, this was 95. So the internet was, you know, in its early years, right? It's not like it would be now. But there were chat message boards.
Yeah, forums.
And
somebody guessed it.
Somebody guessed it like the night the first episode aired and like got to the conclusion using the correct clues.
Yeah.
And he was like, "This, I want to give it to this guy." And they were like, no, you can't.
That and also they couldn't track them down.
Yes, they couldn't track them down. That's
they couldn't
true.
Track them down. And then they also said that it was either going to be a cash payout or the animation. But like, I don't know if it was Al Jean or like some of the other producers that was like, yeah, let's make it $1 million. And Fox was like, absolutely
not. No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an undisclosed amount of money that.
Right. And she's not talking.
Fela Gibson.
Right, right. So no one ever was animated into the show.
No.
Who knows what she walked away with? You know what? Anything is good, I guess. Although I would feel. Because at that point, it's just a lotto. You didn't pick.
You just called collect because you couldn't spare the quarter.
But I don't know.
She needed the money.
I guess. But, you know, like, why? Why was that the way that 1-800? I don't know. It was all. But, you know, I should say for our young listeners, and, you know, the average age of listener for PCMC is between 6 and 8. That's not true.
So my kids.
Yeah, so, the 90s was lousy with sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We remember the
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
The McDonald's
Monopoly.
Monopoly, which I think also was some scandal. Wasn't there also a problem with that? I think there were no winning pieces, they found out. There was so everything had sweepstakes. Like, I remember Crayola had one to pick. You could make your own new color. Like, there was just everything was sweepstakes. This was a big deal pre-internet of getting engagement.
Yeah.
And someone needs to do a documentary on all of these because I'm sure a lot of them ended up being completely bunk. Mm. But so this is all everyone talked about. So what I was happy to see when I rewatched them was they're both really funny episodes.
They're great episodes.
And they're like – like mathematic precision, like they're so perfectly. I kept thinking, why couldn't this have been the movie? Like everything that happens, like this would have been better in the movie. Like, because the movie does some things like this. Like the dome idea in the movie is very similar to what Burns does with the sun, but it's not Burns for some reason in the movie. Well, I don't know. I could talk forever about how I think the movie fucked up.
Well, they also wanted to make it Hank Scorpio too. I mean, it was Russ Cargo who was also. Albert Brooks.
Right, which was good because he was in a lot of the early,
yes, but Hank Scorpio would have been better, but then people are like, oh, we don't know who Hank Scorpio is because he was only in one episode, but it's like, okay, but you bring somebody who was in zero episodes.
Just the way, like, I understand how TV shows work this way, but they made the movie by committee.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember I watched the audio commentary for the movie and them talking about all the things that they almost did and me being like, all of that is better. Yeah. Like, they wanted Lisa to have her first boyfriend. And for, like, many versions of the script, it was going to be Milhouse. And then they were like, no, let's not make it Milhouse. So they created this, like, little Irish boy. And it's like. Yeah.
They want cameos. They're like, that's when they were really cameo crazy.
Yeah, but, like, you think that that's a better idea than Milhouse? Like, yeah. Milhouse, we know Milhouse. Like, they have a hit, like. Just every decision was stupid. Yeah. But anyway, let's get into these episodes, if you will. Yeah, and of course, I wrote down my favorite jokes.
It's so rich with jokes.
So both parts are written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein. I'm not sure. The first part is directed by Jeffrey Lynch, and the second part is directed by Wesley Archer. So right off the bat, I should say, when Bart, in the opening, when Bart is writing on the chalkboard, he writes, this is not a clue, ... or is it? Which is beautiful, because even if you hadn't seen the advertisements, the show is starting the game on itself. Like, the show is saying, look for clues.
Yeah.
So just having that be the first thing is like, it gets you on your back. Like, oh, shit, let's watch for clues. Principal Skinner finds Super Dude, who was the fourth grade gerbil. He's dead. He asks Willie to bury it. So there's a clue slash homage right off the bat, which is we see a bloody axe in Willie's like little room. But it's also – so that's kind of a clue. But it's also an homage because that year's Treehouse of Horror was the one that had
– catch that.
It was the one that had the bloody axe.
That he got every single
– every single story has him die with a bloody axe. So it's sort of a clue slash homage to Treehouse that year.
I love the expletive that he says when he sees Super Dude. He says, Saint Physicrastuses, which is not a real saint.
These episodes are such like vintage Simpsonsisms, like Pardon My Zinger. Like just like that, just the Harvard comedy writer thing of like so smart. That sounds like a larf. So when burying Super Dude, Willie strikes oil. I don't know why he's digging inside, but he's digging inside. He strikes oil. That's another thing about this episode. It's writing so economic. It does everything it has to do, but it doesn't feel labored because it's so funny. Like, it doesn't feel like we have to do all these beats. It just gets there. Mr. Burns is trying to send an important package out, and it goes from like there's a funny like montage of it going from one person to another throughout the company, and it finally gets to Homer.
And it's all those alliterations of
parcel
priority.
Exactly. And Homer runs into Burns' office and gives it to him, which is like he wanted to get it out. Now, again, working on something that was already established, he doesn't remember Homer's name, which is a running joke. But Homer gets really upset about it. And he's like, well, I've been working here 10 years and my boss has no idea what my name is.
And then there's the guy in the elevator that's like, no, tell me about it. He thought my son Ronaldo was my son Rolando.
Which is great.
But one thing I really like when they strike oil and they find Super Dude again.
Yeah.
And the way he disposes of Super Dude, it's throws him overhand. Like, it's like there's no dignity. He just like hurls it away.
Super Dude. Oh, it's so great. But
yeah, like everybody, he knows everybody's name. He just does not know.
Right. This is funny. All. He gets into an elevator. He's like, oh, hello, Lenny. Hello, Carl.
And Homer has the name tag on
it. Oh, it's perfect. He has a name tag that says, hi, my name is Homer Simpson. And then he's wearing a hard hat that says H. Simpson.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mr. Burns drops here's a metric joke. He drops a 1,000 gram anvil, and it's just this tiny little thing that hits him on the head, and he's like, ow. And he's like, it sounded heavier when I ordered it. I can't make hide nor hair of these metric booby traps.
that is perfect for like an Amazon order now, or like a Temu order. You know, it's like, you think you're getting something bigger, but.
Yeah.
You know, and here it is 30 years prior.
Right. Now, the joke now would be, it looked heavier on Timu.
Yeah.
Burns is exercising, which is funny. He's just sitting on the back of the stationary bike while Smithers is exercising. Yeah.
Which comes back again in 22 short films about Springfield.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Like where they're both on the tandem bicycle and Smithers is the only one pedaling.
Yeah. Burns is mad because the school hit oil, and now the school has all this money.
Awful school is awful rich.
Right, right.
That's part of the headline.
Oh, a perfect Chalmers joke. Oh, yeah.
What is that part of your comment? Unrelated article.
Unrelated article. In the middle of the headline. The famous meme now is the Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis.
This time of year, this time of the country, locally in your kitchen. Can I see it? They laugh over the idea of giving every kid a college scholarship.
Oh, but the
montage?
No, is the montage of what they want?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I have it listed. Do you have it listed?
Yeah, I want to. Willie goes. He goes. They go. We'll take proposals from staff and students on how we'll spend the money. And this is just a great montage. Willie goes. I want a crystal bucket for my slop water and a brand new filthy blanket.
Filthy blanket.
Oh my God! What a joke! What a gorgeous joke! I want a brand new filthy blanket. Oh, it's so good.
My kitchen staff is complaining about the rats. I want a new kitchen staff. You know those guitars, but like double guitars?
So good. It's so good. Lisa wants Tito Puente to be, she wants a new jazz department or the music department to have jazz classes. And Tito Puente, to voicing himself to be the teacher. And he's comes back. He's in both these episodes yes. multiple times. Yes. He's a suspect.
He's the late, great Tito Puente.
Yeah.
Right, Raboye, como va?
So then Burns, as a way to get the money, they're like, someone's like, over the editor comes like, Principal Skinner, there's another child here. And he's like, huh. I don't have a secretary or an intercom. Send him in.
He's dressed up like Jimbo.
Yeah, specifically Jimbo is such a funny. Specific.
It's like the Steve Buscemi, like, how's it going, fellow young?
It's exactly that. Ahoy there, Dean, which is so funny. Principal, not the Dean.
He has a hard time sitting on the desk.
Ahoy there, Dean, which is the idea that a child would say ahoy. So funny. Burns says,
he's like, how can I mistake you for the 104-year-old man?
I want that oil well. I've got a monopoly to maintain. I own the electric company, the waterworks, plus the hotel on Baltic Avenue. And then Skinner goes, that hotel is a dump in your monopoly's paddock. Marge has this idea. So,
well, it's not really her idea.
That's so funny. Marge is like, I got an idea. When my dad was trying to get my mom to notice her, he gave her a box of chocolates with his picture at the bottom. He's like, well, it's not really your idea, is it, Marge?
So dick.
Yeah, I know. So he gives Burns the box of chocolate with his picture on the bottom. Smithers, who's a big part of these episodes, he tells Burns for the first time that he thinks he should give up trying to steal the money from the school because, you know, it looks bad for publicity. They're children. It's a school. He should just give it up, but he doesn't want to. He says it's like taking candy from a baby.
Which is the first major clue.
Yeah. And he Burns is looking outside the window of his office with binoculars, and he sees a baby with candy. And he goes, that's where he says, that sounds like a larf. which is great. And then Smithers is like, instead of stealing from a baby, why don't we just eat this box of chocolate we have here? And this is great, just continuity porn. Because as it's a picture of the whole Simpson family. So as him and Smithers are picking up pieces of chocolate, they're revealing more of them. And they're just calling back to older episodes like, oh, that's little Maggie Simpson. She found my bear, Bobo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Bard. He was my heir for a short time.
Yeah.
There's Lisa. Because like this was before him and Lisa teamed up for the recycling. So like, but he does mention something about Lisa.
I don't remember. He says that Santa's a little helper. He was my guard dog for a short while. But then, okay, so this is.
Did they mention something about Marge painting him in the nude? I think that might have been a deleted scene.
Well, I don't remember. So, but then the one piece of chocolate's over Homer. Is a sour quince log. So I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I looked it up. It's just a Simpsons thing. They just made up sour quince.
Sour quince?
It's not a real thing. But they've referenced it multiple times in The Simpsons. Mm. So this was like the level of writing at this time. Just like coming up with weird specifics.
I would say Bill Oakley was probably the second best writer. Like next to John Schwartzwalder, like who was brilliant. He wrote all the hits. Like he was the guy who wrote like Last Exit to Springfield. Yeah, yeah. And like so like but Bill Oakley was like a very close number two with this.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have the ceremony to turn on the well, or turn on the oil well. Lisa turns it on, but it doesn't work. And we see that Burns dug his own oil well like sideways under the school, and it's exactly works exactly like the way it's described in There Will Be Blood with the milkshake scene.
Yeah,
he just went into it, and they say, I don't know if this is real or just some bullshit writing thing, but Principal Skinner says whoever taps it first is the person who owns it, so there's nothing we can do.
Well, you don't know your oil law?
No, I really don't.
Oh.
There's the oil when they strike the oil from Burns's oil rig, it like shoots Bart's treehouse and injures Santa's little helper, which gives Bart a motive.
Yes, look what we did to my best friend. It's just Milhouse eating.
No,
Cheetos.
I mean my dog. Vet, your dog's condition has been upgraded from stable to frisky. Great line. So everyone's mad at the school. The music department has to be closed, which makes Tito Puente mad. The maintenance department has to close. Willie says, I'll kill that Mr. Burns and wound that Mr. Smithers. Lisa points out that the thank you. Oh, so Homer's got the thank you card. Because Burns is like, send the thank you card to Marge Simpson, Bart Simpson, Lisa Simpson, Santa's little helper, and Maggie Simpson. So he's talking about it, and Lisa's like, your name's not even on there. And then he's like, I need you to leave for a minute. And then he just says, fuh! And then you just...
You hear like an organ play, yeah. Right?
And then... what's his name? Flanders is like, that's the loudest profanity I've ever heard. We're on Moe's. Here's another big clue. On the TV, we see an ad for Pardon My Zinger on Comedy Central, which is not a real show. And it says every day at 3 p.m. And then MST3K is on. So this was a perfect time of like, let's make fun of Comedy Central for right, being because, a shitty.
Yeah. Before South Park, it really didn't have
much. Yeah, yeah. It was just a shitty, yeah.
I think Dr. Katz was the only thing that was like original on the show at that point.
But this becomes a big clue for later on because Smithers says he never misses it, but that's when the crime happens.
Right.
Moe's is forced to close because it's right next to the oil rig, so it's filled with toxins.
And one of my most favorite Simpsons lines of all time. Yeah. Man alive, there are men alive in here.
Yeah. He takes out a sort of shotgun. Barney has a gun. This is where we start to get into the guns.
Yeah.
So we're just creating more motives for people, right? Yeah. Now, that's Barney's motive. That's Moe's motive. The unstable oil rig causes the retirement home to the fallen sinkhole. This is retcon because it's not in a sinkhole in the second episode when they go see Jasper.
Right. You shot who in the what now?
Yeah. Oh, I've got stuff to say about that. Burns says his greatest enemy is the sun because it provides free light and heat and energy. He shows Smithers his plan to block the sun out. Smithers stands up to him and Burns fires him. Burns then walks through the model, crushing things like he's a giant kaiju.
Take that, power plant. Oh, no.
The kids are talking to what they think is Homer behind a newspaper, and it's Grandpa, and they all scream. Sorry, Grandpa. For a second, I thought the dad was melting.
God, it's so mean.
I know. Homer is losing his mind. He spray paints, I am Homer Simpson, Burns' office. Burns catches him and says, who the devil are you? There's a great shot where it goes from a close-up of Homer's face to like it tracks up into like a bird's eye view of the whole office as he runs at he runs at Burns. And then as he's being pulled away, he goes, oh, you're a dead man. You're dead. You're dead, Burns. It's so great.
Was that before when Marge finds Grandpa's gun?
No, Grandpa's gun is right after that.
Oh, okay.
Because there's great lines in this. First, because Santa's little helper has one of those rings on after you get a surgery, he's like, the lamp's running away. And then Grandpa has an old Smith & Wesson gun, like an old cowboy gun.
Yeah.
And he says, if you're going to play with it, be careful because it's loaded. So Marge is like, no. She's like, I'm going to bury this in the backyard.
But if you've noticed, Marge touches it. Grandpa's always touched it. Lisa touched, like everybody.
Every
touches,
Simpson
every
touches
Simpson
it.
Has touched that gun.
Yes, that's true. As a mayor, oh, this is so funny too. The mayor is speaking at the town hall, and everyone's like, you see shots of everyone having guns and like touching their
We're
guns.
We're all caressing our guns. you have it, right?
Yeah. It's been brought to my attention that a lot of you are stroking guns.
There's just so many absurd casual lines.
It's been brought to my attention that a lot of you are stroking guns. So good. Smithers is drunk because since he's been fired, he's become like a lush. He spends each day drinking cheap scotch and watching Comedy Central. I never
Dear
miss
God,
part-
no.
Yeah. I never, and he says, I never miss Pardon My Zinger, which is a big clue. Grandpa says, I lost my buddy's old collection of sunbathing magazines. And then the other old man
you
goes,
bastard.
You bastard. What's that old man's name? Does he have a name?
I'm sure he does.
Probably. I didn't know Jasper's name until this episode. I looked it up.
Oh,
his name is Jasper Beardman.
Because
he's got a beard. So Burns comes in super evil, gloating. He turns on his machine to block the sun. He wants to block the sun so people use his electricity all the time. Before this, is it ever established that he owns electricity too? Or is that just something for this episode?
Yeah, he owns the nuclear power plant.
But that powers the electricity?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
That's where the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's, no, I haven't really thought about it.
The dam, which gets destroyed by Sideshow, like by Cecil Terwilliger.
Yeah. Burns says, "Oh, you all talk big, but who here has the guts to stop me?"
Now, here's a huge clue. Everybody looks away except Maggie.
Oh, really?
Maggie looks him straight on.
She's got the guts to stop him. He says, "Have you ever seen the sunset at 3 p.m.?" The way that they play this is so dramatic and evil is great. And then there's a lot of weird things that happen. Burns walks out of, and it's dark, but he's walking out like feeling great about life. We see a clip of Carl and he goes, "That's odd. Mr. Smithers left his jacket behind." Then Otto goes, "Well, that's odd. Principal Skinner left his mother behind." And then Marge is putting Maggie into the car. She says, "That's odd. Where's Homer and Bart and Lisa and Grandpa?" See Maggie with the green lollipop.
We also, Krusty has an alibi because he just came back from Reno for 6 weeks and doesn't know what's going on.
Yes, it's true.
And catch this. He's also in a polo shirt. Like, he's not in regular Krusty clothes.
Yes.
There's a big clue in that.
Okay. See, I didn't catch that. There's a very cool, almost like chilling shot of the close-up of the cigar box that's been dug up.
Yeah.
And then it just, wind is gusting and it blows open and you see one bullet come out. Ooh. So someone dug up the Smith & Wesson. Burns walks behind a building and we hear him and see his silhouette, but we don't see what he's seeing. He says, "After all these years, things are finally starting to go my way. I feel like celebrating." "Oh, it's you. What are you so happy about?" "Huh, I see. Well, I think you better drop it." I said, "Drop it." Then there's a sound of a struggle, and then "get your hands off," and then a gunshot. We see Burns stumble out. He sees Jimbo.
So we know that Jimbo's innocent.
Yeah. I forget what Jimbo asks him. Something
he's like,
stupid.
"Are you okay, man?"
And he's like, "I won't dignify that with a response." And then he collapses on the sundial, which had been mentioned earlier before when they were looking at the model of the town. Mm-hmm. And this becomes a big clue through the media, which is his hands land on the S&W.
Right.
But I have a question about that, which is they bring it up in the special that we're going to talk about. But like, what was that brought up in magazines? Like, I feel like everybody knew that. But like before the, was it from the internet? Like, I feel like the internet wasn't what it is now. Like, how did we all, I'm just wondering how this information disseminated.
You taped the episode and then you got on those forums after watching it over and over and over again.
And somehow we all heard the thing about the S and the W.
The S and the W. But here's the thing, like, or even if you flip it upside down, you know, Wicked Witch, Madame Horrible.
Yes. Yeah.
But like, they made note to point out other people's names, not just Waylon Smithers, but like they also said Mo Szyslak.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
They also said Seymour M. Skinner.
Okay. You're right, yeah.
But the one thing I wanted to say about Krusty,
yeah.
I think they mentioned this on the special we're going to talk about.
Springfield's Most Wanted.
But there's also other theories. It's like, okay, Krusty's wearing something different, but then when they're all gathered together, he's in the regular Krusty the Clown clothes, and he doesn't have bags under his eyes, which Krusty usually does. Earlier in that season is the episode where Homer becomes Krusty the Clown. Right. So like, did he, and Krusty is known to be framed by Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
So it's like, did Homer dress up like Krusty to do it?
Right. You know, so. Right. Because they do, he does mention that. Like, yeah. Have you ever noticed that they look the same?
Yeah.
Because wasn't the original, like the idea was he was going to be him? Like in the very beginning, like that was a concept that they were going to do. Yeah. That's also like Marge had bunny ears.
Yes.
Weird shit from the beginning. So it's pretty wild to see like his gun, like you see like a gunshot wound.
Yes.
And blood.
But you also see that his gun is missing. From the holster.
Which is a huge clue.
Yeah.
Wiggum goes, "This isn't Mr. Burns at all. It's a mask." And then he tries to pull it off. He's like, he's just old. It's just his wrinkly face. This is great. Dr. Hibbard laughs and then looks straight down the barrel at the camera and goes, "Well, I can't possibly solve this mystery. Can you?" And then he
that's my job.
He pulls out to wake him. He's like, "I'll give it a shot." Like,
the fact that he's still staring and pointing at him. But they've done this a couple of times, like with the Hugo episode of the Treehouse of Horror. Like Dr. Hibbert, for some reason, it's so comical that it just showed Dr. Hibbert from face on.
Yeah.
Like, face on Simpsons is always a horrifying thing. But for some reason, Dr. Hibbert is so funny.
So, to be continued. And then we had all summer to wonder who shot Mr. Burns.
All summer, a 9-year-old Ginny Legelfo joked to her cousins that probably it was the baby. If she only took Fela Gibson's spot, she would have been on The Simpsons.
So the I forget what the writers, because they talk about this with a commentary, because they didn't know at first who it was going to be.
Right.
I think I don't think they ever really wanted to be Smithers. I forget what their first idea was. I think their first idea was like some tertiary character. And then maybe James L. Brooks or somebody at Fox was like, it's got to be a Simpson.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, then it has to be Maggie.
Yeah, it's somebody who there's going to be no consequence for.
Right, right. Get a baby tried for murder. Maybe in Texas.
But like, yeah, like how I said that it affected ripples throughout the continuity of The Simpsons. There's the one time like where they say it in passing. It's like, I'm here to talk to your daughter. And it's like, oh, you mean Maggie? Oh, the baby who shot me. No, your other daughter.
Yeah. Oh, the baby who shot me. So the right as a prelude into the Simpsons season premiere, right before it, they did a special with John Walsh, who was the host of America's Most Wanted, which that's not on anymore, is it?
No, it's not on anymore.
Is he alive, John Walsh?
John Walsh is alive. I did a little research onto him. First off, like, let's just talk about America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, we have to.
And how good it did. Like, I mean, before the internet or anything, like, this really was a public service.
Yes, it did.
To, like, it recovered so many missing kids. It caught hundreds of,
it did well.
Fugitives. Yeah. And, like, the thing is, it's like, this guy really turned a horrifying tragedy into, his kid died, like, his kid was... Oh, I forgot the
in a Toys R Us, I think.
He was in a department store and a 17-year-old security guard because he was with a bunch of other kids. But his kid was at most 7 years old. Uh-huh. And they were playing like an arcade game in 1981. And the security guard kicked a group of kids out and he was just with them. And then he was just like out in the wild in Miami-Dade County and was abducted by, it was Otis something. Serial killer.
Yeah.
Who later admitted to it, but like he was not part of like any law enforcement or anything like that. Like
he was an actor.
Something with casinos.
Who are you talking about?
John Walsh.
I thought he was an actor. Wasn't he like in movies and stuff? Maybe. I think he was an actor. And then this horrible thing happened.
Yeah. But like he really turned it into something phenomenal. Just for it to find out who shot Mr. Burns. Like, that's where the wild part is. It's like, okay, now it's reduced to
this.
Was
his kid the kid that's the name of...
Adam. His name is Adam Walsh.
Okay. Is Adam alert when a kid's Amber. Missing? Oh, Amber. Okay. No, he's not. Okay. So Amber was a different kid. Okay. So, yeah. So America's Most Wanted was... It scared me as a kid. It had vibes similar to...
Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
It seemed very grown up and serious. Like he would be like talking in like it looked like a big room like with like extras in the background like doing important things.
I felt like I was in trouble.
Yeah, like they would show real pictures if they had real pictures.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, if you've seen this suspect, but the thing is, when you say that to a kid, it makes you feel like, oh, he could be anywhere. He could be under my bed.
Yeah.
This horrible person that you just
said
he did this horrible thing and now he's at large.
Yeah.
But in 1995, they were like, we want you to host a special called Springfield's Most Wanted. That's a parody.
Get in the helicopter.
Right.
Get up in the air and talk about if it's Smithers or not.
Yeah. But you know what? He had a good sense of humor. But you know what? At the end, he does do a plug for the real show.
Yeah.
Which maybe is why he agreed to do it. So this aired right before the season premiere. It's... By the way, it's the same like set with desks in the back, but all the desks have the pink Simpsons home. I can't talk. I just had a stroke. Pink Simpsons donut boxes on every desk. Yeah. And it's kind of basically a clip show, although it does go through like some of the popular theories. It was a really good. Also, remember, this is before DVDs, right? Summer.
Yeah.
We have to remind you of things. We got like, you know, we've got to like wet your whistle and like remind you, you know, get your brain going.
And I love how like they
they did the clips as like dramatizations or like they said like an artist depiction of a recreation of the moment.
There are three expert guests, former LA Police Chief Daryl Gates, who is a real person, a psychiatrist who's a character, not a real person.
Vaccaro, the guy from Vegas, too.
Yeah, he's a real person, too. Where is he? And they call him a bookmaker. So I think people really were betting.
People were. That was the thing. Like,
and Smithers, was Smithers the number one or was it Homer?
I think Smithers was.
No, Homer was the odds on favorite. Smithers was the second.
Yeah. I think Maggie was like a 32-1 odd.
Yes.
Oh, man, that would have been. Whew.
Yeah. So they do a profile on Mr. Burns, the victim, and it's just best of Mr. Burn gags. Mr. Burns gags.
Like him crushing the Irish guy in the in the bumper car.
Or showing him as a kid.
Yeah.
Which is just a Citizen Kane parody. Whenever they go to breaks, they have these little interstitials of just other Fox
like
stars.
Dennis Franz.
Yeah, but I think he's playing Sipowicz.
I think that punk Bart did it.
Yeah. It's all, and they always say who they think it is. Courtney Thorne Smith from Melrose Place says she thinks Smithers did it. Kevin Nealon says that Smithers did it because he's in love with Burns. Chris Elliott, I think, is the funniest one because he goes, who shot JR? Is that what this is? That was like 20 years ago. That's the joke.
That's the joke.
Which is so funny to just say that. Andrew Hsu from Melrose. Who? Andrew Hsu from Melrose Place, the brother of
Elizabeth Hsu.
Elizabeth Hsu. He says Burns accidentally shot himself, which is almost close.
Yeah.
And if I remember from like, what was the episode that had like the, it was a clip show. They had alternate endings.
That was the
300th?
No, it was, so it wasn't the spinoff showcase. There was another one. It was hosted by Troy McClure.
Yeah.
And it was like the 137th spectacular.
Yeah.
Where it
was,
like,
was it all fake stuff or was it real clips?
It was all fake. It was all fake clips. Like, where,
oh, even like the,
they show the dog shooting him. Like,
okay. I wonder though, but they had to have animated that at some point.
They all animated them. But so I guess it was for the clip show.
Right. Oh, okay.
Or they made them just in case.
Yeah, or maybe because they didn't want...
Then we found out it was the baby.
They didn't want a link. Maybe they didn't want anyone from... Where did they animate it? China? They didn't want anyone to leak it?
Yeah.
Maybe?
One thing I forgot to say about the contest.
Yeah.
So this is just a coincidence, but the next episode in season 7 is the Radioactive Man episode.
Yeah.
And when they go and they see Nelson, they're like, oh, that person's perfect for Fall Out Boy. But it wouldn't be fair to the other children. It was like kind of like mimicking like the Fela Gibson thing where it wouldn't be fair to anybody else who actually submitted.
That was the next episode.
So they didn't have time to write that joke, but it was very similar to what actually happened.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow. Well, the other thing, because you confused this, and I've confused this too in the past.
Oh, the house.
There was that the house thing.
I think that was the next season.
But what, like, was that tied into, like, how did you vote for that?
That was a sweepstakes. I don't know what it was for, but so I remember, like, Louis Anderson was doing a tour of, you could win the actual Simpsons
right,
house.
Right, and they made a house that looked exactly like
I think it was in Arizona.
Yeah, and someone did, right?
Yeah, and it's still standing today. It just looks a little bit different. They updated it.
And they removed the paint. It was originally painted to look like...
It looked exact.
Whatever. Yeah,
it looked
exact.
Interior is the exact interior, too, which is amazing. I would love to have that.
Yeah, right.
Not in Arizona, though.
No. I think there was some weird shit about that, too. Like
sweepstakes. It's all sweepstakes.
It's all sweepstakes. Although I just read something interesting that one of the people that won a car on Oprah came out and talked about it. And she was like, people always ask me, what about the taxes? Oprah paid the taxes.
Oh, that's
we
great.
Did get free cars, which that was always a question people had. So they go through the, like you said, they show the clip of Burns being killed, but they call it recreation. They put it in black and white.
Yeah.
They go through the suspects, the major suspects, Smithers, Willie, Grandpa, Moe, Barney, Lisa, Skinner, Homer, Bart, Santa's little helper, and Maggie. They put Maggie in there. But the way they do that, by the way, is they just reshow the town hall scene.
Right.
It's become such everyone's stroking guns. Many of you are stroking guns. And they just like cut into it with like mugshot images. Daryl Gates, the police chief, the former police chief of LA, says he thinks the shooter was an amateur who's unfamiliar with firearms, which is interesting.
And then it shows like Wiggum shooting the TV.
Yeah.
And then the flare gun.
Yeah. They show the scene with Homer and Burns in the contract dispute. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Is he coming on to me?
God, I love that.
Oh, there's some good old fashioned 90s homophobia in the next episode. Gates also says I wonder if they gave him these lines on purpose. Like, I mean, I guess they did. But then, I don't know. Why would they just tell some random dude? He says, I think whoever did it was a wimp because there was clearly a struggle, but he's a feeble old man. Hmm. Which is a pretty big clue, actually.
Yeah.
The bookmaker says he thinks it's Krusty. The fake psychologist says... that she thinks it's Bart because he's been a trouble. His whole life has been working its way up to this.
Poor Bart. No, he deserves better.
And then they show the scene of, I forget what episode it is, where like he's on trial, like for the mob.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you saying that this 8-year-old boy is a mafia?
It's true. It's true.
It all adds up. Then she thinks it's Homer because he'd have to be dumb enough to commit murder in the open. Then she says it could be someone who's an addict. And then they show Otto, Sideshow Mel.
Barney.
Barney, Homer, and then Bart with Sugar. This part is real cheap. John Walsh interviews Wiggum via TV screen, but it's just old footage of Wiggum with like the voice over. And it's not written right. He's like, we're looking for a 2-for-1 donut deal. Like, what's that? What's a 2-for-1 donut? Who wrote this? But that's where they point out that whoever shot him could be using his gun because his holster's empty.
Yeah.
Then John Walsh, like you said, brings up the thing about the W and S, which people think was he's trying to say Waylon Smithers as he died. Oh, then John Walsh also brings up that Skinner's gun we saw stroking has a silencer. So you wouldn't have heard it. Although you really do in real life. And then Mo had a shotgun, which would have done more damage.
You know, I just realized WS could also be Willie, but it's always Groundskeeper Willie, but like Willie Scotsman,
Yeah. And then they bring up something else, which is there's multiples of the number 3. Bart leaves the school in the beginning, I guess every episode at 3:00. Homer runs into Burns' office with a package at 3, and Burns is shot at 3.
That's for the part of my zinger clue, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's at 3 o'clock.
John Walsh does a plug for The Real America's Most Wanted. And then the end credits is a montage of clips of Burns with Barbara Streisand's memories playing. So you also have to remember this as we go into the next episode. And then he goes, okay, coming up next, what you've been waiting for, part 2 of Who Shot Mr. Burns, and we will all glued to our TV screens.
I thought that Mr. Burns was going to die.
That's the thing. I was just going to bring that up. We didn't know if he was going to live or not.
Yeah.
That's another part of the cliffhanger. And they fuck with you, too, because they get into it. So Bart's chalkboard at the beginning says, I will not complain about the solution when I hear it. The couch gay is when the Simpsons get to the couch, there's a police lineup.
Yeah.
Perfect Simpsons joke. Smithers is drinking a bottle of scotch, and the label says Vagrant's Choice. that's such a perfect Simpsons joke.
But then we go right into another Dallas reference.
Yes, the talk
finale,
about this.
The which was 6 years later from Who Shot JR, but
yeah,
or 3 years later.
Patrick Duffy.
Yes, Bobby Ewing.
Right, he dies early on, and then he comes back.
Yes, he dies in the finale of the previous season, where he pushes his girlfriend out of the way from getting hit by a car.
Yeah,
and he just dies from it. Like, and it was like going 3 miles an hour. But that whole season of Dallas was a dream.
Right, right, and then he's in the shower.
Yes,
and we see him turn around, and he's it was a big reveal.
Yes,
so that happens here. Smithers, he gets up and he goes and he sees Mr. Burns in his shower, and he's like, "Oh my God, you're not dead!" And then
it's 1973. We're in the whatever circuit. Like
we're undercover cops in the Speedway circuit.
Speedway squad.
Yeah, let's burn rubber, baby. Yeah, you see, it's Speedway Squad in color. Then he wakes up again and he's like, oh, that was a dream. And then he coughs up cigarette butts. Oh, and there's a good visual joke. He's like, oh, maybe I'm not a horrible lush. And then it shows an establishing shot of, well, it shows a long shot of his house is just a mess. And he's like, ow. Kent Brockman, dozens of people are gunned down in Springfield every day. But until now, none of them was important. This episode is so fun, even more than the last one. This episode just such good jokes.
Mr. Burns was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced dead, and then sent to a better hospital where he was pronounced alive.
Yeah, no, his condition was upgraded to alive.
That's what
I remember. I remember watching it with my friends and us all gasping, and then being like, when they said he was alive, like it was such a good. It got us so good, and it's so a funny doing hospital. It too. He was pronounced dead. His condition was upgraded to alive. And also, that's just, I mean, what a gorgeous joke. Dozens of people are gunned down in Springfield every day, but until now, none of them were important. So then this is a pretty good clue. Like, there's a gag of the cops interrogating. You can't see who they're interrogating. Like, where were you that night? And then it's Maggie and Sanders and Hopper. Right, yeah. And he's like, they're not talking. Which seems like a stupid joke, but it's a huge clue that it's Maggie. Oh, God, this is such a good joke. They're sitting at the table eating dinner. Oh, Grandpa, God. Where's my hat? I'm going to the outhouse.
Oh, God. We don't have an outhouse.
My tool shed.
And then he's hosing out the tools. Yeah. And
I'm going to the outhouse. We don't have an outhouse. I'm
tired of these rickets.
So good. Smithers blacked out, so he can't remember if he shot Mr. Burns or not. But he has a memory of running into somebody and they just see their silhouette and firing at them. So he's like, oh, shit, I did. So he goes to turn himself in.
Well, he goes to confession first.
Oh, right. He goes to confession first. Oh, and this is going back to the scene where Homer is cleaning out the tool shed. Mo drives by with what has he got? Like a
toe?
Yeah. And he goes, this is just such a great line. Hey, Homer, us hotheads here is going to tear down Burns' sunblocking machine. Just a mob coming up and going, us hotheads. I think it's so funny. So they all work to pull down the sunblocking machine. It falls and we just hear destruction, people screaming, and we find out it's Shelbyville. So they're all happy about it. Fuck those fucks from Shelbyville.
Marrying their cousins.
Smithers goes into confession and says he shot Mr. Burns. But then it's Wiggum is like, this worked out great. It's just very illegal. You can't do that. What does he say? I didn't get this as a kid, but I think this is an early omission of his sexuality. Because when he goes into the confession booth, he says, I tried to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade, but I couldn't.
Oh, wow. I didn't catch that.
I think, yeah. Because I thought later.
That has resonated to modern times in Staten Island.
Well, yeah. Us in Staten Island, like this year, I think they finally let gay people march in it. And by the way, we're recording in 2026. So that's where Staten Island is.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Colossus.
Wait, what does he say? He says, all right, you could go, but stay away from Death Mountain.
But that's where all my stuff is. Where is my
But lawyer? Before that, with the news reporter who's like, sir, who are you? Where are you going?
Do your research. Mr. Smithers, how do you feel right now? And then he says, I feel about as low as Madonna when she found out she missed Tailhook. I had to look this up. Tailhook was a big sex scandal, I think, with the military. Of people getting sexually assaulted. It's not a funny thing, but this is the 90s where it was an easy joke to say, "Ha, Madonna's a slut."
Yeah.
So, but that line is also then it leads to the next thing, which is Sideshow Mel watching it, and well, first Krusty goes, "Oh, he stole my line," and he goes, "Yes, but you stole it from
part of my singer."
Yeah, and then he remembers that at the town hall. Smithers said, I never miss Pardon My Zinger.
He was the main sleuth in this, him and Lisa.
Yeah, but he just quoted it, which means he had to have been home, which means he couldn't have shot Mr. Burns. So he goes to the cops to tell him.
My name is Melvin Van Horn. This is my associate, Herschel Kostowski. Yeah. Hey.
Smithers remembers who it actually was, which was Jasper Beardley. Now, okay, so...
It's for regular walking, not fancy walking.
Yeah. So he says, so Smithers, so he has a, they go, can we look at your leg? And it's a wooden leg that he shot him in a wooden leg. Now, this is a classic line. Smithers apologizes to him and says, I'm sorry that I shot you. Like, can you forgive me? And he goes, you shot who in the what now? I remember saying, I still say this.
Oh, yeah.
This is the millennial who's on first.
Yes.
Not only, it's so ingrained in me. When I watch this episode, I was like, oh, shit, this is where that's from? I forgot that it was from The Simpsons. You shot who in the what now?
Isn't there like a line where, like a saying recently where it's like, if you see a white man in his 40s say something that you don't understand, it's probably a Simpsons line.
Yes, yeah. And I didn't remember there was a Simpsons line. But dude, you remember people, like people said this.
Yeah.
I said this a lot as a child. You shot who in the what now? There's a clue. Lisa says, I don't think anyone in this family is capable of murder. And as she says that, Maggie pops up into the frame.
Mm.
Oh, God, this is such a good joke. Grandpa says, you never know what you're capable of. I never thought I could shoot down a German plane, but last year I proved myself wrong.
Last year.
So, what a gorgeous joke. Last year I proved it's almost like a 30 Rock joke.
Yeah.
The way that the setup is the beginning and the end of the sentence is the punchline.
Oh, that's very much like Tracy Jordan's, like, I'm an adult. I got two bad knees and a gun that I lost.
last year I proved myself wrong. All right. So Lisa goes to the police to help them. Lisa says, Tito, they're like, what about Tito Puente? And she's like, well, he couldn't do it. He's a celebrity. Now you got to remember, this is all the year of the OJ trial.
Yeah.
So
let's go.
They're like, let's go. And this is where he goes, I got my revenge on him by running the salsa. And we hear the Burns salsa, which is pretty fun bit.
Adios, viejo. Oh, but before that, like when they're who is it? Smithers, who's like, I reduced myself to sucking coins out of a love tester machine.
Yeah.
Jeanine and I always say, like, that's a real good way to get sick.
Yeah. What's that cop's name?
There's why can't I think of it now? There's Lou and Eddie.
Oh, okay.
It's Eddie.
So then there's this flashback of Skinner. Skinner basically says he was going to kill Burns, but he was putting on camouflage makeup, but by mistake got his mother's makeup and didn't notice until he was done putting on a whole face of makeup. But this, of course, just leads to a homophobic or transphobic joke where is it Chalmers walks
into him? Chalmers walks into him. Oh, dear God.
Yeah. The Mo lie detector scene as they're interrogating everybody.
Oh, God. It's so good.
I'm trying to think of every – he's like – I couldn't do it because I was at home reading. And
no. He's like, can I go now? I have dinner with a friend. No, I have a hot date tonight. Dinner with a friend. Dinner alone. Okay, fine. I'm going to ogle the ladies in the Victoria's Secret catalog. See his catalog.
So great.
I don't deserve this treatment.
Which is so funny because it's not a lie. It's just a fact. So now we have a really cool, I did not get this as a kid, a really cool Twin Peaks reference where Wiggum is asleep and he's in the red room from Twin Peaks. And Lisa comes in talking backwards, which is from Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And the way they actually did this in Twin Peaks is they'd write it out and then they'd reverse it. And then you'd have to memorize it backwards and then they would play it backwards. So it would be like, it would sound like you're talking forward, but everything wrong about it.
Yeah.
And she's like, Burns' suit. And he's like, what? I don't understand. And then finally she's like, check Burns' suit.
Oh, but before that, Grandpa's like talking to the gun, like, oh, you're the bee's knees, baby. You're talking to me? Yes.
Yeah. A classic Simpsons. Ugh.
Wiggum, to have that hallucination, drinks the warm cream.
Oh, because
there was no coffee.
He does check the suit and he finds an eyelash, and he does a DNA check. We find out every person in Springfield's DNA is in the system.
Yes, because
this feels very OJ too as well. Oh yeah, pennies. That's why we keep them in circulation. Which is great
because pennies finally came out of circulation this year.
Yeah, the one good thing Trump did. And then it comes up as a match of a Simpson. So we know it's got Simpson's DNA. It has to have been a Simpson. as this happens, Burns wakes up and he starts saying Homer Simpson. So they're like, oh, that's it. He ID'd him. So they go to arrest Homer. This is another classic line. He says, Doe. And he goes, that's what they all say. They all say Doe. So many parodies at this time. There's a parody of The Fugitive as the like the paddy wagon he's in, like, turns over, and it's like the train, him getting off the train in Fugitive. In The Fugitive,
yeah. But like Jasper rams the back of it.
Yeah. Oh, what does he say? He says something like drive-thrus ain't for parking, they're for driving. And he's in like an old like 30s car.
Why?
Yeah. So.
And the way he runs away with his shackled feet. He's like.
So this is, I feel, a bit of a cheat. Lisa says, well, any one of us could have. Also, when they arrested him, they say, we found the gun. We found Burns' gun in your car with your prints all over it. And Lisa says, that print could have got there anyway. And she has, like, not a flashback, but like an imagination memory of him dropping something and then putting his hand under the seat and touching everything, one of the things being the gun.
Yeah.
Do you think that this was actual scene from part one that they had to cut for time and maybe they just put it in here? Because it feels like a total cheat. It feels like you're cutting to a imagination of something. Yeah. Like it feels wrong. It feels like a cheat. The other cheat, by the way, that I mentioned
before. It's a way out.
The other cheat that I mentioned before was when they all come at 3 o'clock, when they all come outside to look at the sun, we see Smithers leave. So he does leave as everyone else is like ogling, but that is at 3. So yeah. I feel like he said he left early. That's not really leaving early.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's no other real like cheats.
And also, does he live next door to City Hall?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. We find out that Burns can only say Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Simpson.
It's Dr. Nick Riviera, yeah. Right? He's like, oh, does your brain feel damaged?
Simpson. Homer.
Smithers puts out a $50,000 reward for anyone who finds Homer.
Dead or alive.
Yeah. So everyone's – and now that Homer has escaped, he's going to the hospital. They all go to the hospital. Lisa gets in front of him and she's like, you know, don't shoot my dad. I think my dad's innocent. Oh, right. I forgot to say. She goes to the scene of the crime and she's like trying to figure something. And then a bird's like, clue, clue. And then she looks at the sundial and then she figures out that it's Maggie.
Yeah.
Somehow. So she goes to – everyone's racing to the hospital. She gets to the hospital. She's like, my dad's innocent. And then the door opens and he's choking Mr. Burns. He's like, yeah. I'll kill you for saying this to me.
Us hotheads.
Yeah. So Burns can't remember Homer's name. So Homer steals a cop's gun and points it at Burns' head. And then Burns sees the baby and goes, oh, that's one who shot – whatever he says. And he explains that Maggie shot him. And then to sort of like – I guess for us, right? The Lisa's like, it wasn't WS, it was MS for Maggie Simpson. And then he's like, that's not what I did with my last. He
swallowed his gold fillings. Yeah,
those EMTs have sticky fingers. And that's when he's like, arrest that baby. Like, no, Jerry in the world is going to convict a baby. Maybe Texas. And then it ends with a close up of Maggie. And as she sucks on her pacifier, you hear boom, gunshots. Boom, boom. And that's it. That's who shot Mr. Burns. Do you where were you when you watched it?
The second part. I was home. Was
your whole family?
No. This was my brother and I. We missed the original airing of the first Who Shot Mr. Burns. Okay. And from that point on, starting in season 7 was when we started religiously taping the episodes.
This publicity stunt did what they wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was always an avid Simpson fan. I remember in 1989.
Yeah.
Coming home from swim practice, I'm 4 years old, and this is when it was on a Thursday night. It wasn't on Sunday night yet. And I was like, can we get home to watch The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Like I was
I missed Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean it was Sunday more than anything else. But it was Thursday for a little bit, right?
It was Thursday. It was Thursday for the first two seasons,
I think. And then followed by Martin?
Because I think that it was on right
after. Thursday, then Sunday again forever?
Well, I think the Tracy Ullman show was on Sunday. And then that's where the shorts were. I remember seeing the shorts.
Yes, I remember seeing the shorts too.
But again, like I'm 4 years old at the time. So like I have very, very vague memory of it. But this, it definitely did catch
get me. I was watching every, like, I, it was appointment television for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But at that point on, because I missed something like that, and also season seven, or was it season seven or season eight, where it was, you know, we were big fans of Smashing Pumpkins and Sonic Youth, and there was that episode where he plays Hullapalooza and stuff. So, like, that's where, like, we just started to make it a point to record every Simpsons we can.
And
I have, like, a dozen tapes of that's early Simpsons. And, you know, there's old 90s commercials and stuff. Awesome. But
I've been thinking about getting a VHS player. I mean, I'm sure I could get it for fairly cheap.
No, they're expensive.
Oh, they're really?
They're very expensive because, like, we went to get one for the boys because, like, they're into analog media.
Yeah.
So, like, they're, like, a minimum $150. $150 to $200.
Damn.
But you know what it was? It was, like, learning Simpsons dialogue and learning the impressions was the secret handshake amongst my friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and still to this day, there's some guys I work with that, like, you know, like, well, I'll send text messages of, like, Simpsons references. Like, one of my friends has, like, a flying hellfish tattoo. That's you awesome. Know, like.
You started this episode saying you would do impressions and you have not done any.
No, I'm not going to.
But I gave you permission to.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm not doing it.
What a disappointment.
I'll just do Krusty's grunt.
That's pretty good. You know, I think about, like, this is a real example of monoculture, right? Yeah. Like, not, you know, there's no streaming. There's no, everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone's watching The Simpsons. Everybody's watching these things. I mean, like, there's some togetherness of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to work at a place where there was this really old administrative assistant, and she was retiring when I was, like, and this was a while ago. And somehow we started talking about I Love Lucy, and she was like, oh, I remember. Oh, no. She was talking about, like, one of her first jobs was in, like, Macy's, and she was like, yeah, but I work on Tuesday nights and it was empty. And we were like, why? And she was like, because I Love Lucy was on. And we were like, that's fucking insane. Like, there's nothing like that. Like, me and Jeannie were talking about the Donald Duck in Sweden. Like, everyone watches it. Like, there's not, like, I feel like something like this couldn't happen. Because even if there was, like, something like this, and, like, there's a big little, there's, like, a strong, small fan base of people that are really into it, most people wouldn't give a shit.
Well, like, look, I watched all of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And I made sure to watch it, like, at the premiere. But the thing is, it's like, I know it's on Netflix. I know it's going to be there. Everybody at work has watched it already.
Yeah.
And
it just ended. The finale was just 2 days ago.
2 days ago. And it was a huge event. Huge event. I'll get around to it. You know?
Some people went to the theater to see it.
Some people went to the theater. Great. I would have loved to do that, but I didn't. Yeah. But I will get around to it eventually. Yeah. You know, like, so, like, that's why, like, there's no, none of those phenomena. There's no MASH finale. There's no Friends finale. Even Lost. I remember when, I think Lost was the last one. Because I remember when Lost was the finale.
That was Lost after Sopranos finale?
No. Oh, yes, it was. It was.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because I was with a group of friends with the Sopranos finale. And guess what? I never watched the Sopranos. I only watched, like, the last two episodes. But I had to go see the Sopranos finale. But I remember, like, the Lost finale, like, there was, like, a Jimmy Kimmel viewing party, like, immediately after. And, like, they just, like, did, like, a whole special afterwards. But, like, that's what they did. Like, there was always a special afterwards to talk about the show.
All right. So, according to Google AI, and I don't know if this is, we could trust this number, from Netflix, they say that 34.5 million people viewed the finale of Stranger Things.
Wow.
Now, how many people watched Who Shot Mr. Burns? I wonder if I could find them. Part two, averaging 12.3 million households strong, 12.9. Oh, so that's less. Although, it was number one. No, finished. But then what we're counting for, what Stranger Things is how many views. That's not at the same time, necessarily.
No, you have 24 hours to do that. Where this, it's like you have the half hour.
You had to be there. Yeah, it was exciting. I remember watching it with my cousins. I think we were at my grandfather's house or my grandparents' house. And actually, a lot of my early Simpsons memories, because we'd go to my grandparents' house for like Italian Sunday dinner every Sunday. And that's like where my cousins were and stuff. And so yeah, a lot of my early Simpsons I remember like watching there, and I remember being a big fucking deal. I taped the Treehouses, and then for the first couple of years they would do Treehouse marathons and show like the last couple.
Yeah.
So probably not the very first one, but somewhere like around 3 or 4, I was like, oh, I got it. And I remember taping, and then I taped them for a while. I like was collecting them as much as I could until I don't know when. You know, it's funny. I don't have any memory of like stopping watching The Simpsons. Like at some point there was a Sunday that I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch it today. And then it stopped being like a regular part of life. But still now I'll like, first, I always watch Treehouse.
Yeah. No, Drew, yeah, because Treehouse, you don't have to watch The Simpsons. Like, you're just watching the parody of, you know, The Simpsons parody of.
Yeah, they're non-canon.
Yeah.
Oh, this brings me an idea. So they recently said that they're finally, after like, what, 10 years or more, they're doing a second Simpsons movie. 20 years.
Well, it will be 20 years by the time it comes out.
What it came out 2007. Holy moly, God! It's been 20 years since the first movie.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw an interesting video recently about their aging voices, and they might have to do something about it.
Yeah.
Because they sound
yeah.
so old. So I was like, okay, we all have problems with the first movie, even though I kind of like it. Why not do a Treehouse movie?
Ooh.
That'd be fuck. Who would be against that? A Treehouse of Horror movie? That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Really cool.
You know what, everybody?
Take the note.
Treehouse of Horror movie.
You know that there's been more time between the two movies than there was between the premiere and the first movie?
Shut the fuck yeah. up. Really?
Yeah.
2007.
It was 17 years versus 20 years.
Oh, wow. And I still think of the movie as like recent.
Yeah.
Because it felt like so long.
It was season 18 when it came out.
Yeah, I remember people saying like, isn't this a little late for a Simpsons movie?
Yeah.
And at the time, they were like, oh, we're going to make more movies. And they didn't.
Yeah.
I hope they go about this new one in a different way than they went about the first one. I really do.
It would be nice if they ended it with the movie.
It feels.
But they're not going
to. Yeah, I don't know. It seems to like it's never going to end. Mm. I mean, you could replace these voices too.
You could.
You could go forever.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's really like a Sunday strip.
Yeah.
Like it's just forever and ever. Well, Bill, I'm very happy to talk about Who Shot Mr. Burns with you. These are great episodes. Season 6 is great.
Watch the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons. Everybody should. Like,
yeah.
That's like, I mean, and this is right at its peak. You know, season 6 and season 5, 6, 7, 8 are just golden Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah. They're just firing on all cylinders. We end every episode by saying,
goodbye, bye.